You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Pop and Stuff. Push your button when things get rough. HR Pop and Stuff. Can't do a little cause you can't do enough.
Right, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hey.
And I've got Scott.
Hello.
So what we're going to do is we are going to be talking about Animal House, released in 1978. And I kind of did this thing last time we talked about a movie where I was looking at trivia. I did the same thing on this one, and I thought it was really fun to learn that the whole scene with John Belushi in the cafeteria, he ad-libbed that whole thing. That wasn't part of the script.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was great to learn, and such a, you know, because of the talent that is John Belushi, and they just let him roll with it. And I'm like, of course you would. You know, just go with it, man. Just go, let him go. And even that whole thing where he like put the rice in his mouth and he says, "I'm a zit." Mm-hmm. The reaction that the cast had was genuine because they didn't know it was coming because he had ad-libbed the whole thing.
Wow.
That is so cool.
I think that's awesome. For the listener's sake, what you don't know is we actually attempted to record this episode last week. Was it last week? I think it was last week.
Mm-hmm. It was last week.
And we had technical difficulties, and we didn't record Butkus. So this is our second attempt of recording this episode. We really wanted to cover this topic, and just for a little bit of fun, trivia for Banzai Retro Club listeners. We had an episode that we did where we talked about Burt Reynolds, and I think Scott and I may have had a little bit too much to enjoy adult beverage.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We are like trying to decide on our topic that we're going to talk about, we chat via Facebook Messenger amongst ourselves as we're coming up with topic ideas. And I think Scott threw out the idea after listening to how much we had fun with the Burt Reynolds episode, or slurring, or whatever you want to say, that, you know, he had the great idea of doing a topic where all the times that you party too much as a kid in the 80s or the 70s, right?
Something like that.
That was the overall concept. And then it morphed into the Animal House idea. So it was really kind of funny how the evolution of our ideas happen as to what we're going to talk about. And then Rose brought up the idea of Animal House, and it was just like, of course we should talk about that. It's such a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do was I want to start off just with your favorite character, because there's such a great ensemble cast here, and I'm curious to see where you guys are with kind of your, you know, the thoughts of which one really you really enjoy the most, if you can. So, Rose, do you have a favorite character?
I do. Can I go after Scott?
Okay, Scott.
Let me see.
The lady from Seattle is deferring to the gentleman from Florida.
Yeah. And I think this kind of goes along with what happened later on, a few years later, in a couple of Twisted Sister videos. Mark Metcalf, Niedermeyer.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm.
He was just hysterical, and that character lived on years later somewhere else, you know, in the music videos. And, you know, being such the music video fan that I am, you know, the days of MTV, when you saw him pop up in Twisted Sister videos, it was just funny. He played the same character, you know, spit flying out of his mouth. It's good stuff.
Yeah, Niedermeyer is just the...
He's such a small role. I mean, there's a lot of small roles.
Yeah.
You have that, you have the core of the four or five guys that are, you know, the college guys, and of course, John Belushi, but I kind of like to step out a little bit on the edge and feature one of the more of a supporting role, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and Niedermeyer was such an ass, but yeah. He was just a lovable, the guy you love to hate.
Yeah.
And he did it great. I thought he was awesome. And then, yeah, for that character to have evolved into the 80s scene, you know, on Twisted Sister videos is even better.
Yeah, it's funny stuff.
Yeah. So, Rose, you got anything about Niedermeyer, or did you want to give us your pick?
You know, Mark Metcalf was also in one of my favorite movies. He played, I can't even pronounce it, Aquila Beckerstead in One Crazy Summer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he is so damn funny in that, and his kid is such a doofus. And he always, every time he sees his dad, he's like, "Hello, Daddy. I love you. Have a nice day." And it's just, he's such a suck up, you know. But in this movie, in Animal House, he's such a prick. Oh my gosh. And he's so good at it. And the things, you know, he comes in riding the horse, you know, and all of this. And it's just like, you know, hello, really? Do you really need a horse? I realize this is, you know, like either like National Guard or whatever you call it when they're in college. I can't remember what it is, but, you know, because they have it in school, in high school too, but some kind of military group that they're involved in. And he's sitting in front of poor, what's the kid that nobody liked? Is it Dorfman? Dorfman.
Yeah.
Even for... "What's that on your uniform, soldier? A pledge pin?" And he's like spitting all over. Like, what the hell?
A pledge pin on your uniform?
I know. It's like, oh my gosh. Poor kid, you know. He's like, no mercy. Absolutely no mercy. But he did a really good job being a dick, so...
I like the side conversation during that scene. There was Otter and Boone when they were doing the golf thing. He's like, "He can't talk to our pledges that way."
Yeah.
It's like, no, only we can talk to our pledges that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it, you know, and they're talking about, you know, the golfing techniques and everything. So yeah. But
you have to swing through the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which actually brings up my character. I know he was, I don't remember, was he called Otter? Because I can't remember. They only have his actual name. Peter Reichert. Donald Schoenstein. Was he, not Tim Matheson.
Oh, not Tim Matheson. So you're thinking of Boone.
Yes. Yeah. So, when he was.
He's the one that was in love with Katie. Was it Katie? What's her name?
Honestly, I don't remember. I just like him as an actor. I liked his level of snarkiness.
Okay.
Because, you know, he brought it really well to the table. So, but he always seemed as though, out of everyone, he was probably, because I always had like a certain level of lower education, even though they were in college. But he seemed to be able to mask his pretty well. You know, I think with his street smarts and, you know, sarcasm, he actually made you believe he knew something, as opposed to, you know, the other guys that really didn't.
But I can't find him in the credits.
It's Peter Reichert. It's right after Matheson.
Donald right Shorenstein.
Before Bruce. Yeah, I said that.
Okay.
Yeah, because see, I know they all had pledge names. You know, they all had fraternity names, but
yeah, they remember. Okay. So that was Boone, right?
Yeah, it was Boone.
Okay.
So
so he was the one that was seeing Katie, but then she ended up Karen Allen, who ended up going with mm-hmm. Donald Sutherland at the end.
Right.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Sorry. Spoiler alert, for a 1978 movie. That's right, kids. She ends up with a professor. Damn her.
Donor professor.
Yeah.
So, Boone, yeah, I liked him. I liked his character because he was like the almost a sidekick for Eric Stratton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of like, you know, okay, we're going to go into this nightclub. Sure. Okay, let's do it. You know, and then all of a sudden he's like the buffoon where he's like yelling, "Hey, Otis!" Okay. And everybody just stops and
Otis like, is going to be so excited to see us.
Yeah.
He loves us.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just having a good time, you know, and I appreciate that, you know, and, you know, it's like, all right, we've got to do this to our pledges. All right, let's do it. You know, we're going to go to war now? Okay, let's do it. He's just like quick to just, you know, sign up.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah, he definitely played a very fun character. So, Boone, what was that like for you, Scott?
Oh, you know, he was just one of the guys. He was kind of downplayed a little, but I don't know. There's so much going on in this movie, it's hard to remember the whole thing. I was able to go back and watch bits and pieces of it, you know, catch a few things on YouTube. But I do remember, I mean, Peter Reichert, he's been in quite a few things since then.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he's just, you know, he was just one of the main characters, and you kind of got to like him to go along with it, and he fit in well, you know, with the rest of the crazy college kids, you know, and that's what they were. So I don't remember any specific scene that he stands out for me other than the Otis scene, when they're at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a great scene. It's hysterical. that whole part.
Yeah. That was a interesting, fun sequence. And another trivia piece that I had read was they were worried that that was going to be too racial.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually sent the movie before it was released to Richard Pryor to run it past him to say,
what do you
think? Would this come across as racial? And he's like, come on, just funny as shit. Release it. He didn't say that, but it was equivalent to that, you know, and it was just kind of like, really? Come on, guys. You're taking yourself too seriously. So, for me, favorite character would be Tim Matheson's character, Eric Stratton. Even to this day, when there's like, you know, when I first get into a room where I know people, and I'm like, I'm Eric Stratton, damn glad to meet you. just absolutely love it. Like, even the moment that he, like, stands up and he's got to give the speech, you know, when they're getting in trouble and they're in, you know, the court. Uh-huh. And he, like, starts this speech about, you know, turns it into the, well, you know, you could do what you want to us, but I'm not going to sit here and let you badmouth the United States of America, you know. And then all of a sudden, like, everybody's like getting up and humming as they're walking out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the, even though he wasn't like the, you know, the president of the, you know, Delta Clubhouse, you know, he was mm-hmm. still a leader, you know, mm-hmm. and he was really the one that was, you know, running the show, you know. And it's like, here's what we're going to do, you know, and here's the next move, you know. It's like, we're going to have a toga party, damn it. Just deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Toga. Toga. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, even the ones where they didn't want to select those people as initiates or, you know, pledges, you know, he'd like have to work the crowd and get them to, you know, he had to work them into what he wanted to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just a fun character, the way that he was manipulating the system and getting his way all the time. Other than when he got beat up, of course.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
But, I really enjoyed him as, you know, like one of the leaders of the group. So Eric Stratton, Scott?
Oh, yeah. I mean... He was so funny. His demeanor was what, just the way he was so confident in everything he seemed to do. He just carried that cockiness around. Like, he fit as like the real leader of that group too. Like, he pulled it off very well. It's he was good. I like that character also. I'm trying to think of another scene that he was in that stood out for me, and I can't think of it. Who was the one that had the fling with the underage girl?
That was Pinto.
Okay.
That was Larry Kroger.
Okay. I couldn't remember which one that was.
Yeah. Well, now the dean's. Was it
daughter. No?
That was the mayor's daughter. Mayor,
the mayor?
Yeah, it was the mayor's daughter. That was the one you're thinking of. But then Dean's wife was the one that Eric Stratton ended up seducing.
Okay, that's what it was. Yes, that's right. Now, okay, I remember. I knew he had something to do with that situation. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, he was in the grocery store, and they were comparing. What vegetable were they looking at?
Cucumbers.
There you go. Yep. So, sensual vegetables. There you go. So Rose, Eric Stratton, is he memorable?
Oh, well, you know, only because he's such a hottie, you know, and,
I'll
definitely
take your word for that.
A ladies' man, and definitely was a charmer. I mean, he got by on quite a bit of, you know, suave smoothness.
Uh-huh.
And if he couldn't suave his way into, you know, getting what he wanted, he bullshitted his way, which he was really good at that as well, so...
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of times when you have someone like that, it's probably, if you have a group of people, it's probably a good idea to have at least one person like that in your group, you know, to make sure, you know, you're getting all the fun parties and underage bars and things like that. Like if you had a girls were going to be at a party, you know, and weren't a whole lot of guys invited, then you definitely knew if you had a guy like that, it could, you know, charm the fuzz off a peach, he could probably get you in. So.
He would get you in the door.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, and, you know, he had such an eclectic group of friends that he hung out with just over the years. Because he not only was he the smooth talker, but he also had heart. So everybody was pretty much, not that he wouldn't make fun of them, but, you know, it was pretty much the same in his book. You know, he never treated people like crap, and like the other fraternities did, and took it way too seriously. You know, so.
Yeah, because you could see him, like, being in one of those other fraternities, because he's kind of suave that way.
Yeah. He had as a matter of fact, I think they tried to get him to join one of the fraternities, you know, like that, you know. But he was just too much for them, I think.
Yeah.
So they took it way too seriously, and he didn't.
Right.
Even though his father probably had just as much money as theirs did. He just didn't care.
It was about having fun versus, like, getting too serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to switch gears. And I want to ask you guys, what was your favorite scene of the movie? So, Scott, did you have a scene that you could think of?
Oh, there's so many.
There can be only one.
Mm-hmm. I gave my love a cherry
that
had no stone.
Oh my god!
It was a short scene. It was nothing major, but I just it cracks me up. I've heard people, you know, play that bit on the radio every once in a while, and it just cracks me up every time. So who was that guy? I can't remember who actually was playing the guitar.
He looks familiar.
Let's see. Do I have it somewhere? Yeah. Yeah. I don't see his name under the video.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna start playing.
Okay.
It's muted.
Stephen Bishop.
Stephen Bishop. Okay.
And the credits, he says, charming guy with guitar.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That just was perfect.
I gave my love.
There's actually a trivia on that scene that I saw earlier, and I thought that was kind of funny. I think they had said the only damage to that house was that scene, and rather than actually fix it, they just put a plaque by it.
And that's where he hits the wall with the guitar, and
the guitar
dings the wall pretty good.
Yep.
Hole in it.
Wow. That was a pretty tough guitar.
It really was. Like, I'm watching the scene right now, and it was, it took him a few good whacks to break that thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just thought they would have.
So the whole John Belushi makes in the wall with the guitar was the only physical damage incurred to the house during the entire production. Instead of repairing it, the fraternity placed a frame around the hole with an engraved brass tag to commemorate it.
Nice.
I mean, exactly what I would do.
That's perfect. Your lies,
I think I'm sure a lot of people would think that's kind of a weak pick for favorite scene.
No.
There's so many others that could definitely go before it as far as other people's favorite scenes. You know, what about you, Rose? What's your favorite?
I actually, if I could expound on that a little more, John Belushi just really just stole the show. Totally stole the show. He had so much energy and so much electricity. You know, for him, it just wouldn't be right for him not to do that. I honestly, because I was going to break the damn thing. It was just like, I'll reach into the movie screen and shut up. You know, it's just like, you know, because you see guys like that all the time. Oh, I don't want to play guitar. Let me sing for you, ladies. And he, Bluto, had to be so stoned out of his mind with God knows what. It was just like, give me this fucking thing. Wham! Shut up! I thought that was pretty cool. But taking it down a few notches, my favorite scene is, well, because there was so much debauchery going on, as college students, you know, have a tendency to be loose and fancy free. When I want to say Tom, is it Tom Hulse that was trying to make it with Clarette
in the car?
And no, in the bedroom, in the dorm room. And he reaches, or I don't know if it was it him or anyways, it was either him or some another kid. And she's like, they're going to have sex. She takes off her bra, he puts his hand under her bra and pulls out like a complete box of Kleenex. Well, apparently she'd stuffed her bra. And then she realized what happened and she fainted. So, or she passed out because she was drunk. I don't know.
She passed out because she was drunk.
Yeah, she passed out.
It was perfect timing, though. I think because when I was in school, because I was in my school years, basically, was from 70 to 78 when I graduated from 78. And that was such a huge topic amongst us teenage girls, who stopped and who didn't. And just for you guys to know this.
I stuffed, but I used cucumbers. I use cucumbers.
It's a rolled up sock, really, what it is. No, you got to angle it just right. But yeah, no, go ahead, please.
That had to be cold. Anyway, so it was just so funny to actually like see it on the screen. You know, you've known people who've done it. The thing that I had a problem with, of course, you know me, the reality of it. You know, always has to have some sort of, you know, logic to it. It's just like, there's no way in hell you put that many wads of Kleenex in your bra without your boobs looking weird, like you're in a geometric wormhole or something. It doesn't work. So I'm just saying, if she would have had all of that in there, you would have seen it before she took the bra off. Just saying. But it was just so funny because it just kind of reminded me of the good old days. But anyway. And the fact that she passed out, you know, it was just like, I want to think that she was mortified that she forgot they were in there or something. And she fainted. So I know the scene says, you know, she was drunk at the time, but that's my angle on the story.
Yeah. And yeah, to expand that a little bit, what had happened right after she passed out, and then he got the little devil and angel on his shoulder, you know, like, fuck her.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah, we should tread lightly considering the recent topic out in the news.
Yeah, you're probably right. We don't condone that activity. We're just admiring the movie. That's all.
I was just saying that, you know, I have fond memories of having discussions of that.
No, I get it.
You know, it's not going to stop as people from having sex. Yeah, you know, yeah. So let me just say this. It's shitty that what's going on is happening, you know, and men still... Some men still haven't figured it out, you know, that no means no, even though, you know, it was 30 years ago. It just makes me sad that it has to come to a point to where, you know, people don't get it. You know what I mean?
So, Dave, it's just, did you answer my question on Facebook about crunchy or creamy?
I answered on Twitter, but I did. Actually, I didn't exactly answer. I alluded to an answer.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of a fun, like there's only one right answer, but I didn't give an answer.
Okay.
Because right. That's what I was hoping to keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. It was very confusing. I like that.
That's the way I roll.
Well, now I got to look that up. I didn't see that tweet come through.
Thank you for continuing to fuel that controversy of crunchy versus creamy.
Think about the scene that we're talking about, that's really dividing the country. I know it is. It's crazy. But the scene we're talking about is very, it's right there in line with what's going on out there, you know?
It is. Yeah. It totally is.
And it's odd that we're talking about it now, right now, during this. Yeah, when it was coming out too. So, anyway.
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
What's happening in the movie as opposed to what happened in real life is in the movie it was consensual. So, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Last time I checked, two consenting humans who want to have sex are okay to do that.
Yeah, because she was actually trying to help him remove the bra. So
there was
a consensus going on there, but we don't really need to continue that too much. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole and start, you know, our soapboxing.
No.
So that was your favorite scene. My favorite scene. Is lots of what you talked about before with, you know, John Belushi's character kind of stealing the show. Mm-hmm. To me, his speech. What? Over? Did you say over? Mm-hmm. Nothing's over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no.
Yeah.
What
the fuck happened to the Delta I used to know?
Exactly.
Where's the spirit? Where's the guts, huh? Yeah, I love that. I love that speech where he's like, you know, trying to get everybody going and nobody's listening to him. And he's, except for Otter, you know, and once Otter gets on board, then they're like, okay, he's saying something important here and let's take him seriously. But, you know, because Bluto was just going off and just ranting, it was just like he's a buffoon. But then, you know, once you give him just a little bit of credibility, you know, then it was like, yeah, this guy's telling the truth. Let's listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden everybody's running out, and you know, I mean, hard charging to do what? I don't know.
Yeah, but they don't know either.
Yeah, exactly. They're just, yay, let's go! and then all of a sudden, you know, you get into the whole scene where they start, you know, blowtorching the car to get it ready for the parade and doing all that kinds of stuff. But, I mean, I don't think that them running out of that room at that moment, that they knew that was the game plan.
Yeah, no.
So it's just kind of like, let's run out and yell. Because that's what you do.
I think it's not on the way.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a fun scene, and John Belushi sold it, and I love Bluto.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not part of the same scene, but you know, to the kind of person he is, or you know, the antics that you would expect when they're sitting there in that court scene, like I mentioned before, he's the one that's like coughing. You know, it's like, blow job,
bullshit.
Blowjob! It's like, you know, he started all that, you know, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, back to the scene when he's giving his speech, that was a lot of fun for me. So Scott, you remember that scene?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? I know you just said it, but that's a classic line. Over? Nothing's over until we decide it's over. Yeah. It's a classic thing, and it was I don't know. Did you say if that was a spontaneous speech, like he came up with all that on his own, or was that something that was written? Do you know?
I don't know. I just know that the cafeteria scene.
Yeah,
the cafeteria scene was the one. Yeah, that's the only one I know. Yeah. I don't think they said anything about that one.
It wouldn't be surprised for him because he was really a king of improv. He was so good at it. You know, he was one of the backbones of the improv SCTV and back, you know, down in Chicago or whatever, but
Second City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so great. No, it's a great scene. It's one of my favorites too. It's definitely one that made, you know, like my top three scenes. It's interesting that none of us chose John Belushi. John Candy was not in this movie. I repeat, Candy was not in this movie.
Kevin Bacon, yes, but John Candy, no.
Kevin Bacon,
yeah, I know.
Which this movie is like a really good stepping stone for Kevin Bacon to become, to have that game, this, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Several of these people went off on and did so many different types of movies that he got, you know, he touched base with all these different lines of acting. Anyway.
And this is actually his first movie.
Was it really? I thought it might be. I didn't look at his bio. But I thought I knew it was one of his early ones. And then Friday the 13th was like his second one or something.
Well, then I have to look that up. I don't know.
I think so. 1980.
Oh, okay. Which makes sense because I don't think he did Footloose until 84.
That would be 84.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, actually, he was in that's not right. TV series in 1951.
Was he a baby?
Yeah.
Was he even born yet? I don't think he's old enough.
Was his mother carrying him at the time? No, he's not that old.
No, yeah, he was born 1958. That's not possible. I think they got the credits a little bit off there. All right. Don't know what that's about, but. Animal House.
No,
yeah.
Okay, no, you're looking at if you're looking, I don't know how where you're looking at Kevin Bacon, but 1951 was Search for Tomorrow. That's when the series started. That was an old
old
soap opera. He was in it
in 1979. Okay. So then, Chip Diller and Animal House still would be his first credit then.
Yeah. Oh, he was in Hero at Large. Really? Oh, that was a good one.
As a second teenager.
Yeah.
I admire credits like that. Second teenager, charming guy with guitar. Yeah, that's the kind of credit that's a credit I want.
Mm-hmm. I want to be woman standing in dress shop.
I want to be a corpse on like a Law and Order or Special Victims Unit or something.
Some
dead guy. Somebody's got to play that role.
Back when I was really into Kevin Smith, there was this thing that he does this Q&A thing, and he talks about where he always wanted to be in Law and Order, but he doesn't want to be like a main character. He just wants to be the dude that points them to the guy that did something wrong.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just, you know, the information guy. Yeah, that's all he wants. You know, so just give me a little cameo. I can point you guys in the right direction, and I can say I'm in it. I'm in Law and Order. So it's like, you know, that'd be the credit. You know, the dude that, you know, points people to the right direction. So.
Nice.
But then again, he kind of did that in Daredevil with his buddy Ben Affleck.
He was
in that briefly. So then Scott, did you talk about your favorite scene?
Yeah, the guitar scene.
Guitar scene, that's right. Okay, so we've all did our favorite scenes.
Yep.
Is there anything else on Animal House that you guys want to cover?
I don't think so. I mean,
I like the parade. The marching band, the parade, and they end up down a dead end alley. Still marching and playing.
Yeah. And then they
got dedication.
The Deathmobile.
Yeah.
Man, you start talking about one scene and you start think it jogs your memory of other ones that happen right around the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like another great scene was when they talked Dorfman into shooting the horse.
Yep.
Oh.
And he didn't shoot the horse. He just shot up in the air and it was full with blanks. And then they ended up sawing the horse's feet off. I mean, it was just, it got crazy there for a minute.
Yeah, it did. That was funny because I think it was the shock of the sound. That
yes, it caused a heart attack.
I know. I really hated that part because I remember seeing it in the movie like, no, don't kill the horse. And he's like, oh, it's just blanks. And then, you know, the horse falls over dead. Like, oh, man. That sucks.
Poor horse. Yeah, we could probably sit here and just spend all night just going, oh, on that one scene or that one time that they did that. And
oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
boy is a P.I.G. pig.
Is that Mandy Pepperidge or Babs?
I'm not sure which one yeah. said that. Let's see. Mary Louise Weller. Yeah, it was Mandy.
Mandy, okay.
Doesn't Bluto end up with her, though?
I think like, so.
Get like a ladder, like a hook and ladder, and he goes and climbs up to her window and kidnaps her or something. Is that my imagination? Or she got stuck on something, one of the floats, and I think he rescued her or something.
Somehow she had lost her clothes. And And then he was at top of the building. He sees her, and he like grabs like the sign and goes all the way down to the street, you know, holding the sign, and then grabs her, throws her in the car, drives away, and then during the credits, you see her, she's perfectly happy next to him, kind of coddling him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, happy, happy-go-lucky, there they go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yep.
That was like a total Errol Flynn move there.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And then Greg Marmalard, he was quite the dick. Yeah.
Well,
with
a name like Marmalard.
Yeah. Another one of those guys you hate to hate, or you love to hate.
Yeah, but the blonde dude.
Yeah.
That was up.
Yeah.
Dean Wolfers, Whiz Wing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of the right hand man for the dean.
Yeah, kiss ass.
Yep, that's him. all right, so as we say at the end of these things, we would like to remind everybody to go to the website. We have a website out there. It's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BANZAI. On that, we also have just links to our social media. We encourage you to go out there. We also have on the Contact Us page, you can send us an email. So we did get an email recently from a listener, and we'd like to get more of that. So please do that and also leave us a voicemail. There's an option on the front page to do that. So there's a lot of ways to connect with us, and we'd like to hear from you. And also at the bottom of the page, there's this little thing called Patreon. Scott, why don't you tell us about that?
Okay. First, before I say anything about that, I also want to say I'm liking your new idea with your 140 must-see movies of the 80s, which nice short little snippets of information, but they're fun. They're gonna. I'm looking forward to a lot more of them. And you got 139 to go, brother.
Yep. I just recorded Flashdance earlier today.
So Anyway, Patreon is just a way for the listeners to show support, help us pay for the website and stuff like that, and other things like it just helps us pay for stuff that we need to promote the show and try to get it out there. And so it's just to show support, that's all. So go down to the bottom of the website and click on there and become a subscriber. And as we get more subscribers, we'll start releasing some behind the scenes stuff for those people that subscribe. So, but you won't hear that unless you subscribe.
Ooh, nice little teaser. All right, and the other thing that we like you to do is those of you guys that have those, you know, high tech devices from Apple, there's a thing called a review. Rose will tell us about that.
So I see that Apple has a new version out. They've got a bigger version, the iPhone 10. There are a few guys that haven't figured out how to use it. That's all right. You know, by the time the iPhone 11 comes out, you'll be fed up with it. So what you need to do with your new iPhone is to go out on iTunes and look for Banzai Retro Club podcasts, subscribe to the podcast, listen to the podcast, and review, and tell us we're amazing, because, hey, we know we are. So,
and we
we're modest too. We appreciate all of you who subscribe, all of you who listen, all of you who download. It just means that we're doing something right, and we love doing it. And thank you so much for everything that you guys do in order to keep us alive via retro-ness. So if this is your thing, and if you love reminiscing about the glory days, we're it, folks. There's other people out there doing it. They're not doing it quite as... No, I'm just kidding. I can't say that anymore, because when I first started listening to podcasts, 80s was like a non-existent. As a matter of fact, the last podcast that I listened to before I found you guys to actually do a podcast, that was their last episode. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I just started listening. What the hell? And, so it was really kind of disheartening to know that, you know, there was nobody on the go. But now there's massive, and like, we have like a club, and, you know, Twitter is just amassed with retro-ness. So get out there on iTunes, people. Listen, review. Leave us. Do we get stars? Is that how they do it?
Yeah, you get stars.
Yeah. We get stars. Give us stars. We like stars.
And you're right. There's a lot of good retro content that's out there. And we've hooked ourselves up with some people that are putting out some amazing stuff. So it's really cool to see what else everyone else is doing and the different concepts and ideas. And yeah, we're not the only show out there, but I mean, it's great that when we do get the feedback that people like what we're doing, and you know, it'd be great if that's via review. That just helps kind of motivate us even more, even though I don't think we're going to stop anyway. So even if we had zero reviews, we'd still be going at it.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a part of the program that I remind everybody to be excellent to each other and have a good whatever, because we have no idea when you're going to listen to this. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai!